Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Weekly Freestyle. You join us on our bonus episode and we're joined by Mr. Withers again. Luke, let me shake your hand. I've got you back for a second time in just as many weeks, which is exciting. But some of the exclusives you gave in our most recent episode about the British Swimming Awards, if you've not listened to those and heard those, stop this podcast now and go and listen, because they were pretty exclusive, weren't they?
Yeah, I'd say so. I don't know. I don't think there's many other podcasts that would have somebody who was there that recently afterwards.
Yeah, I've got a question. Were there any other media members there?
No, I was just thinking that.
Our friends at Propulsion not there?
I didn't see them.
What? They're probably too busy, like just counting their views.
One of them's got a kid now as well, so they're probably quite busy.
I think one of the guys has a couple of kids.
Jesus. What are we doing with ourselves?
Filming content.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Filming content with us. That's by the by. That's off topic. If you want to hear the real exclusives, go back and listen. And just to whet your appetite, Withers, you've got another exclusive for us. Some of the people you were talking to there. What were the most interesting conversations you had?
There's a couple of good conversations. I'd say one that was quite lighthearted and fun was I was chatting to Dave McNulty, and he was saying how the season's a bit different. He's not got that real big name in the squad in the same way that he's had before. He's always had someone that's got like that individual Olympic medal. And I said, oh, this must be the first time in your career. And he went, oh, cheers, Luke. And then he swore at me and then started to walk away. But luckily he turned around and then started laughing because he was joking. So I got a little bit worried for a second that I am very much upset. In my opinion, the best coach in British swimming history. So that was quite a funny little anecdote. The other one that was quite amusing was, well, there's two with this, the water polo teams. So obviously it's the Aquatics GB Awards night, so that means all the aquatics disciplines were invited, except the male water polo team wasn't.
Riddle me that one.
So talk about inclusivity, that didn't really make much sense to me. So they had the women's water polo team, but they didn't have the men's. And myself and Tom were talking to a couple of the water polo players, and we asked them, what's going on there then? And they said, oh, it's because they're really bad. To which we said, but hang on a minute. And they went, no, like so bad they don't even qualify. I was like, that's still a bit harsh. They went, yeah, I guess. And that was kind of it from their perspective. But yeah, I don't know. I think maybe Aquatics GB should look into that. I think maybe they decided that they're not paying them any money, so why would they invite them to this? I don't know what it is. But surely if you want to get them better, you want to invest. I don't know, is all I will say with that.
Yeah, that's another interesting bit of insight there. I would say as well, we're not affiliated to Aquatics GB in either way, in any way. So, we'll say what we want, you know, but we're not affiliated either way, but we're just here for exclusives.
They're having a good chat, really.
Good work from you there. Was there anything else before we dive into kind of some swims at Rotterdam?
Just that I think the people that were, because of the time of year it is in the season, a lot of people were either not drinking at all. So for instance, Tom didn't have a drink. I think the most exciting drink he had all night was a lime and soda. A lot of the swimmers that
really
genuinely he had a lime and soda. So myself, him and a couple other of the swimmers on his
how many team, lime and sodas did you have?
I had one at the end of the night. I had just one
lime and soda.
Oh, no, he didn't even have lime, so I take that back. He had a tonic water. He went to get one and he said, no, hold the lime and soda, I would like a tonic water instead. So I don't know what's happened to our man, but so a lot of people weren't.
It's gonna be big 3 years if he's on the lime and sodas in October.
We are in trouble. But so a lot of people were either going there with the intention of not drinking or not drinking much, or you went there with the intention of having a very good time. Now, I'm not going to say what discipline or who you were.
Maybe does it involve water?
It involves water.
Okay.
They are athletes.
We're narrowing it down now.
They are athletes and they were invited. I think the way their season is structured, it's a little bit different. And also, I think alcohol is a little bit less of a part to play with their sort of their sports. It's a little bit more like with footballers, how they can have a drink a little bit more often, less so these days, of course. But, you know, it's that sort of a vibe. Anyway, talking to a couple of people from this team, they were a little bit wobbly to the point where somebody got sent home before the main course came out, which I thought was quite funny. I think they got sent home by
red
their
card.
There was no VAI. It was a straight red. They didn't need any consultation. And their table was quite loud during the event because they're having a very, very good time. But in fairness to them, speaking to a couple of them at the end of the evening, they were really lovely and they were funny to talk to. They had a lot of banter and they were very good at taking the mickey out of myself and Tom, which I thought fair play to them.
Fair play. That's not easy to do. Did the person that got an early booking sending off, did it come back up for the second half or
no? They were done. So the way just to give you a little bit of a insight to how the evening was structured, it was we arrived. They were doing shuttle buses from 6 till 7.
From where?
From
all across the country.
Six till seven. Whether in Billericay or Exeter, be there.
Why have we gone for two towns next to each other?
I thought Billericay was in Scotland, obviously. It's not Dundee or Exeter or Billericay.
Exeter's
not near Billericay.
No, it's not. Billericay's in Essex, isn't
You're
it?
You're crazy.
But anywho, so from the hotel that we were staying at, which had, I think it had all the athletes at, and I think it had the support staff, but I think people that were more to do with like media, I think they were in a different hotel, but I don't know exactly how it worked. But anyway, so our hotel was probably the biggest, like busiest one, which was the TY hotel. And that was a 10-minute shuttle.
Did you stay
shuttle.
At Celtic Manor?
No, we didn't stay at Celtic
Manor. Fuming.
But I'll be honest, our hotel was lovely. Okay. And when we got back afterwards, we were still at like 1 a.m. still able to order like drinks and stuff like that. So they were very amenable. So that was good. The person who got the early bath for not being very well did not make a reappearance, but apparently, yes. So the structure of the evening, that was it.
This is why it's a bonus app.
The structure of the evening was you arrive around between 6 and 7. You then mingle in the sort of the bar area. Then they start telling people to get to their seats by around about 7:30. They then start the awards around 7:45.
Colin Murray's first joke is what time?
Probably around 7:45. So he starts his
7:45
like,
bang joke.
7:45, he starts making these little jokes. He does a little game called Water Babies where he has a picture of someone who's a swimmer as a baby. You have to guess, which actually, by the way, Katie Shanahan won. So she won £100 worth of hotel chocolat stuff. So that was very good for her. And she was giving that away. Didn't manage to stag myself a chocolate penguin. So I'm a little bit upset with Katie about that. But, you know, we move. Then around 8 o'clock, we start the awards. So we do a round of awards for about half an hour. Then they do the main course.
Bread to start?
No bread. So wow. To the point where I saw Mr.
No bread.
So Tom was not. Ah! Right. Tom was having a right old moan. So, and also, so Tom was going, where is the bread? To myself and Ed Mildred, who was sat on the other side of me. And Ed Mildred started eating his napkin because he was that hungry. So unfortunately for Ed, he was struggling as much as everyone else was, it looked like. But then eventually we got the main course, which Tom managed to get two of because he asked really nicely, which everyone else at the table looked incredibly salty about, I'd like to add. They do the main course. They then do another lot of awards, probably about half an hour of awards. They then did the dessert, which is about 45 minutes again. Then they do the last lot of awards. So this person that got sent home early with their early red card, they, I think, had the first lot of awards, but didn't make it to the main course before they got sent home. So their night was done and dusted around 8 p.m.
That's quite respectable effort.
Yeah, because the awards went on until 10:30. I think they did pretty well.
Considering the shuttle bus from an unnamed location in the country left between 6 and 7, I think that's quite fair.
Hmm.
That was a wonderful summary. As I say, if you want to hear more, go back to our previous episode because we'd speak a lot more sense about award winners and why people were there. And also Adam Peaty Stag Do. So it's probably worth tuning in for that. Welcome back. The main crux of this week's bonus episode is to talk about early season swimming and the international meet that occurred in Rotterdam happens every year. And it's kind of our first chance to get a look at kind of British swimmers and swimmers across Europe, I guess mainly Dutch swimmers. And I just wanted to get Luke's thoughts here. If there are any swims that were maybe worth chatting about or sending sort of positive or maybe even negative signals at this point in the season, but granted it's still early, so over to you, Mr. Withers. Was there anything that maybe made you sit up and kind of look this week?
There was not too many swims that were outrageously good, because you wouldn't expect that this time of year because they're in such a big and hard block, but I would say Tom doing the 100, 200, and 400 IM, which is, I've not seen him do a 400 IM for quite a while, so that was good to see. The times, he would probably be the first to admit, nothing electric, but some decent early season racing, 156 and 200 IM, 420 in a 400 IM, 53 and 100 IM, as you know, a little bit of fun and getting yourself back out and racing, which was weird that he did medley and Duncan did freestyle. I didn't see any races where they did the same event, which I've can't think of many meets where that's happened in the past.
And do you think that's intentional?
I think they were probably going for their sort of B events to some extent, although Duncan doing the 203 with Art would probably contradict that a little bit. So I think they were sort of just having a bit of a blowout and trying some different things, but Duncan probably also still wanted to do the 200 IM. You could argue Duncan's as good at a 200 medley as he is freestyle. It's a bit of a toss up there. I think it's hard to say now with people like Marshawn taking the 200 IM to a whole new level. You would probably say, no, the freestyle's better, but who knows? I think it was probably just a case of they entered what they felt like they were ready to do, and their coaches probably said, yeah, we don't want to put too much pressure on you. You're going to do only one event. That's one of your main ones. And then you're going to do a couple of others that are a bit different. So I reckon that was probably the thought process. But I don't know. We'd have to ask one of those boys and see what they say. But Duncan looked in pretty good nick, and actually the 200 free I was quite impressed with. Going to 143.6. That is pretty fast short course for this.
How far would that kind of swim be off PB then?
That's still roughly. It's still about 3 and a bit seconds off his PB, I'm pretty sure. I think he's gone 140 low. I don't think he's cracked 140.
Short course, I guess.
This is short, yeah. But it's always a good parameter if you're inside your long course time, in on a 200 especially. The 100 was okay, 47.2. You'd probably want to be a little bit quicker than that, because I think he has gone 46 low before, but that's okay again. And I thought the 400, I thought it would be a bit quicker than that, but I think because of things that have been going on, he had a little bit of time off after the after Worlds, and obviously things like with the Stag Do coming around the corner, the 400 was a little bit slower than I maybe would have expected, but it's still not exactly bad going to 3:48. So Duncan's in good nick. Tom gone through his times. He was in pretty good form considering where he's at and where he's been. Freya Anderson dropped some good times. She went a 53.0 coming second in the 100 free. She won the 200 free, got a 155, and she had a splash and dash 50 where she went 24.5. I think the 50 is now just an event she does as a little bit more fun and see where her speed's at. And I would say from that, her speed's not quite there yet, which is actually not a bad thing. That's probably in some ways a good thing, because the speed should come later. So if that does happen, you'd like to think that 100 and 200 will drop quite a lot. So I'd say the 100 and 200 free for her were both pretty solid, especially for early doors. She actually did tell me at the awards that she's actually training, which I didn't know what that means, to be honest with you. I think she was implying that she's not trained properly for a while.
Bit more insight there.
Don't know,
for free.
Don't know how much she would actually say that's true, but I think she was making the joke that she's actually training and she's probably in a better place with her training, is what she probably meant by that. So, which is always good to hear. You're always happy when you hear someone's enjoying their training, because even if they were enjoying it before, but then they're enjoying it more now, good things will only come from that. Another one that I saw that did quite well was Katie Shanahan. She came second in the 100 backstroke, going a 59.1. So that's pretty good short course. You'd probably say she would like to be a little bit quicker, but again, like everyone else, early season, can't be upset with that. But I actually thought the 200 back where she won that was a really good time of 2.045. I think that bodes really well for the long course season, because I think her PBs are 2.07 mid and long course, and to be 3 seconds inside that short course, that's about right with a conversion for someone like Katie, because she's not a complete underwater merchant like we've mentioned in the previous episode of the pod. But she is still, obviously, when you're a world-class swimmer like she is, you're still going to have incredibly good underwater, so there is still going to be a decent drop. So I think those guys are probably like the big hitters of Stirling. They did well. I didn't see too much of the other Stirling lot, and I think it was only Stirling that were there from GB, because some of the other GB lot were doing world short course, where they didn't really make any headlines, because to make headlines there, you'd have to be going world records. And the world records that were being set by like the Aussies and the Canadians were just ridiculously fast. Just to touch on that very quickly, Molly O'Callaghan going sub 1 minute 50 for 200 freestyle twice in 2 weeks. That is unbelievably fast.
Short course.
Short course.
Yeah, that's maybe that's something we can look at as well in the coming weeks, is kind of where world swimming is at, and also off the back of world champs. But I did just seem to see so many ridiculous swims going on at that meet, or that sort of series of meets. But Lou, that was a wonderful summary there. Obviously, that race was in the Netherlands. Do you know what good swimming is in Dutch? And do you want to guess? Do you want to try?
I coach a Dutch girl for a year.
Here we go.
University team that I coach. So,
oh yeah,
I did. Yeah, I coach. Oh yeah, going Bucks this weekend.
Going Bucks.
Yeah, going Bucks.
Go on. Shout out your uni swimmers. Get them listening to the pod.
Shout out to Royal Holloway University. I'm sure we'll do big things.
What's the Royal Holloway swimmers squad's like nickname? Like, what am I going to shout at them? Like,
there's something to do with
the Royalers, the Hollers, the Hollowers.
There's something to do with bears.
Okay.
The logo is a bear.
So the bears.
I think they're a bear. I'm trying to
the
show
water
you the
bears.
Logo.
The
no,
water bears.
Not the water bears. But
we'll call them the water bears. Yeah, no, I want to know what is good swimming in
good
Dutch.
Swimming.
We're not here for swimming. We're here for good swimming.
Good zemmen.
Let me whack the volume up on this bad boy.
Swimmer. Oh,
wow.
I was close.
That was incredible.
I know. I listened to Elizabeth a couple times, and that's the Dutch girl that I coach.
Thanks for clarifying that. That was Withers. You did very well there. And also your rundown of some of the times at Rotterdam was beautiful too. In terms of what we can expect that's coming up on kind of the international / European calendar for our British swimmers, they're in Poland for World Short course soon, aren't they?
Yes they are.
Do you want to just what is that? It's, what does that mean?
So it's the best swimmers in Europe, kind of. So it's not an end of season meet, so you're not going to have all the best swimmers there. So you'll probably have, out of the top 10 swimmers, you'll probably have 5 or 6, and then out of the next, the 11 to 20, you've probably got another 5 or 6 that come as well. So it's a slightly smaller meet, but there's still incredibly good quality there, but it's a little bit more diluted is what I would say. But it's still incredibly fast meet each season, because there's always a few swimmers that have tapered for it and have really targeted it. So I know last one we did, that I think it was Matt Richards and James Guy were going very fast there. That's always exciting to see how the GB lot will be there. And they've just released a selection. I know that Tom has been selected. We've taken a relatively small team, considering the capacity for the team was 30, but they've taken 17. And interesting, they've taken no male fly swimmer, so I don't really know what the angle was there. So I was a little bit confused. But to be fair, when you've got someone like Duncan Scott on the team, he can probably do anything and everything. I kind of get that. He's a bit of a jack of all trades. Yeah, short course Europeans is a very good event, but it's not the biggest event of the season. So you will see some fast swimming, but it won't be electric, is what I'd say.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit more in the run-up to that, and also hopefully where that can actually be watched. But before then, thank you
so much to everyone for listening. Do send us a message, probably on our Instagram is best. If you're doing any swimming or you know anyone, any of the master stuff or any of your squads or people who have done stuff, just send that in, because we're keen to keep an eye on things like that, because I think it's Winter Regionals long course coming up soon.
No.
Winter. No, no, not winter. After winter. What's the one that I might do?
Oh, sorry. No, right. For Masters. Yes, you're not wrong. Masters Winter Regionals is
coming
in January.
But there's plenty of other stuff coming up too. So the point is, if you're doing it, let us know. But thanks so much for listening and catch you next week. Cheers.
Cheers.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.